Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to another edition of Sports Heaven Legend. Along with my co-host Macaulay Matthew, I'm of course William Ramo. Hey, what's up, Mac? How you doing?
Hey, what's up? How's it going out there?
Hey, not much, man. Just a busy day. Late Saturday night, early Sunday morning. A very special edition of Sports Heaven Legend. And of course, you know we're going to talk about all the major stuff that's going on in sports and entertainment. About the Mets and their hot streak, you know, about the Yankees and A-Rod starting to show some power lately. You know, we're also going to talk about the Rangers and their ongoing battle with the Penguins as the series is now even up after I guess you could say technically yesterday's game since it's officially Sunday now. And, you know, we're also going to talk sports entertainment and, you know, what else is going on in sports. Of course, you guys all know the number. It's 917-388-1899. It's 4189. So feel free to talk sports, and without further ado, let's let's talk some Rangers, man.
Power Rangers.
Yep. And the first game, you know, they won 2-1 on Thursday night. And, you know, Rangers, you know, successfully defended their home court on Thursday night. Unfortunately, that wasn't the case on Saturday, as, you know, they fell, you know, to the to the Penguins, you know, by the final score of 4-3. So, as you know, the series is now tied. And, basically, they got to try to win game three to, you know, to take the lead, man.
Yeah, I mean, they led this game 1-0 going into the third period, but it all collapsed from there. You know, Penguins scored 2 goals in a row, and Rangers down 2-1. Did they end up tying? Actually, no.
No, they never. They didn't
tie the game. They didn't tie. Yes, yeah, I think it was. I think Penguins went on a 3-goal run. I think.
Yeah, it was like 3-1.
Yeah.
Afterwards, you know, Rangers was able to cut it to 3-2, but then you know, Penguins added that insurance run, and in the late final seconds, the Rangers scored you know, a goal to cut it, you know, cut the deficit down to 1, but you know, that was as close as they would get, and you know, of course, they fell to the score of 4-3. And bottom line, you know, the Penguins, they did what they had to do. They had to go to MSG and even up the series, and they did just that.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, Rangers, you know, they're with the best record in the NHL. So, I mean, still got to have faith in them that they can go on the road and beat the Penguins.
Yeah,
you know,
no doubt.
They've done it before. They did it last year, so I think they could do it again.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, this series is going to go down to the wire, you know. You know, like the first game was 2-1. The Penguins were, you know, chipping away, just trying to get that equalizer, but they weren't able to get it. So
yeah. Exactly.
You know, it's basically what happened in this game, you know. But on the opposite side. So.
Yeah. Rangers couldn't score, you know, early on. You know, their offense needs to be much better in the earlier periods in the next game.
No doubt, man. They definitely need to bounce back from this loss. You know, this was a game they could have won, but. You know, they didn't capitalize on their opportunities, man.
Yeah, needs to score more.
Yeah, man. Luckily for them, it's just game two, but you know.
Yeah.
Now you know, there's officially a series now, man.
Oh yeah, Penguins have stolen home court.
And now they're going to take it back to Pittsburgh.
Should be good Monday night.
Yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to that. And in other NHL playoffs, the Blues defeated the Wild by the final score of 4-1. The Jets and the Ducks are playing right now. It's scoreless. And, you know, basically, you know, it's an interesting series. I think, aren't the Islanders tied also? 1-1-2, I think?
I thought they won yesterday, didn't they?
I think they won their first game. Did they play a second one?
I think so. It was either yesterday or today, I think.
No,
I thought they were winning, didn't they?
Yeah, I think they won the first game. Did they play the second game, or is that the second game coming up?
No, I think the second game they played yesterday, or it was today, I think. I think it was last night. pretty sure. Let me see. Actually, the series is tied, it looks like. Wow, I thought they won.
Yeah, I think they won the first... I think Islanders won the first game, but then they lost the second game.
Yeah, it looks like they lost it... Was it today? It looks like it could have been today.
Let me see. Doesn't look like it's today.
It might have been yesterday, then.
The another NHL playoffs scores. Lightning, Tampa Bay Lightning defeated the Detroit Lions by the final score of 5-1.
Man, I don't care about any of these other teams besides Rangers.
Well, I agree with you. Wholeheartedly. So, you know, there could be some fans out there, you know, who want to know. But then again, they would know the score anyway.
Yeah.
But, yeah, hopefully Rangers can bounce back. In any case, you know, we'll keep you guys posted what's going on with them.
Yeah. The Rangers.
In the future. Oh, yeah, no doubt. But, shifting gears, baseball and the Mets, man. These guys, they won 7 in a row.
Yeah, and they break up the Mets.
Well, they could break up the Mets after the guy willing the you know, the Tinker Tink parade, hopefully, the way I did play.
They win again this today?
Yeah, they did, man. They had they held on. They had a 5-0 lead, and then afterwards, you know, the bullpen wasn't pitching well. Torres, he wasn't pitching well in the bullpen. This guy's been lights out this whole season.
Wow.
But ever since last year, you know, this guy's been great. But he's been overworked, so he didn't have it today. And Mets rest their you know, some of their reliable you know, relievers, Blevins, who came from. Who they acquired from the Nationals in the offseason, and of course, Familia, who's you know, the closer right now, since Parnell is still hurt and Mejia, you know, he got he's hurt. Plus, in addition to him being suspended for taking Stanozol or something like that, you know, a performance enhancing drug, so. You know, Familia's been great, you know, as the closer thus far, but he had the night off. And, man, it was really scary that, I mean, they entered the inning 5-1. Somebody hit a leadoff home run, I can't remember who it was. And, D. Gordon. You know, Flash Gordon's son. He had like a 2-run single or something, and he cut the lead down to 4. So, you know, it was really scary, man.
Uh-huh.
And if my memory serves me right, it might have been with nobody out too or something like. It was a real crazy game, man. I mean, the Marlins, man, they were coming back, man. But
well, Mets hung on.
Yeah, that's the most important thing. And the Mets had calls go against them. Marlins won those calls. I mean, DeGrom pitched awesome, and you know, he was able to get his second one of the season. So DeGrom improves to 2-1. His only loss, he pitched great, but he didn't get no run support in that game. So,
I see.
The key to the Mets' strong start is, as with any baseball team, is that, you know, they have strong pitching, man. They got Matt Harvey, you know, being Matt Harvey, he hasn't skipped a beat in his first season back from Tommy John surgery. He's on the mound, you know, today to get you know, the sweep of the Marlins at Citi Field. And, you know, since Mets been in Citi Field since 2009, it's been a little hot pause for the Mets. But this year, man, the Mets have a 6-game and, of course, a 7-winning streak overall, you know, because they beat the Braves the last game, and they haven't lost ever since.
Yeah, they've been playing real well. You know, they have pitching and got these guys hitting now. Yeah, Mets are looking a little bit scary.
For real, dude, it's about time.
This might be the first time the Mets might contend since the 2006 season.
Yeah. You're absolutely right. In 2017, I mean, they start off strong, and then they fell off in the second half with that, you know, horrific collapse that they had that year. But yeah, this would be so far. They're really playing baseball, man. They're hard nosed. They're getting clutch hits. You know, they got the trademark pitching working for them. And you know, they're firing on all cylinders. Even got, you know, Wright, who's on the DL, and Murphy hasn't been hitting well. Granderson hasn't been hitting well either, but you know, he's been getting on base. He leads the majors in walks with at least 10 walks this season. You know, he's, you know, getting on base, you know, via the walks. Lucas Duda, he's hitting doubles and singles. I mean, this guy is not trying to be a home run hitter. I mean, this guy is, you know, he's, man, him and Kadire and Darno. I mean, if you close your eyes, you think it would be Lucas Duda at the plate. I mean, not Lucas Duda, Paula Duca at the plate from 06. This guy, Butch, batting in the second hole.
Yeah, these guys are finally living up to their potentials.
Exactly. And, you know, Kadire, man, longtime veteran, David Wright's hometown friend from Norfolk, Virginia. You know, he has that leadership quality, that hungry veteran who hasn't won anything, who's, you know, trying to lead this young team, hopefully to the promised land. So, you know, you can't say enough good things about the Mets. You know, they got that swagger, and highlighted by Matt Harvey, in the game earlier this week against the Phillies. I don't know if you heard about it. The Phillies hit the Mets. Hit the Mets. I think it might have been, I think they hit Kadire in the hand or something like that. So Harvey, you know, he went in old school mode. He was plunking guys and he clearly plunked Chase Utley. He wasn't trying to hit some, you know, no name dude. He hit Utley, and after he hit Utley, he was staring at you know what I'm saying? You know, he was like challenging this. If he was going to start something, you know, he was ready.
Wow.
But Utley, you know, he's an old school player too, you know. He was a good sport. He passed Darno, and he just took his deal. So, you know, he wasn't starting anything. So he just took his base and, you know, met with sweep the Phillies and, man, the Mets have been beating up on every team in their division. So, except for the Braves. The Braves did win that two out of three in Atlanta. But you know, they've been really dominating. As we speak right now, they're 9-3. Matt Harvey's going to take the ball today and get the sweep against the Marlins. So Mets are 9-3 as we speak. You know, if you're listening to the podcast live as of right now, the Mets are, you know, hoping they can continue their winning ways.
Yeah, they've been playing well, so they got good pitching this year. So it's, who knows? It's probably going to be NL East division year for the Mets, division title year.
Could be. At the very minimum, hopefully.
Yeah.
And, a team across town, before we switch gears to the Yankees, do you know when the Yankees and Mets are going to face each other?
I think you said all the way in August, right?
Very, very close. Mets are going to face Yankees, I think, on April 24th. Like, they're going to face them, you know, this upcoming week.
Oh, right, right. That's at Yankee Stadium, right?
I believe so. But yeah. Mets versus Yankee City Field, it's going to be, like, all the way into, like, September. I mean, what the heck is that all about? See, this is what's the problem with the interleague every day. You know, I have no problem with interleague. I mean, you know, I consider myself a purist, you know, even though I do like interleague games, but I like the way how the format used to be.
Yeah, like, well, it was like a few weeks of interleague.
Yeah.
Like
late 90s, early 2000s, you know. You played, like you were saying, that you played the interleague for 2 weeks, and you forget about it, and you just move on, and, you know, you just continue, you know, with your division and the other teams in the West or East or Central, depending on where your division is, you know, generally speaking. But, yeah, now they ruin interleague. Interleague is every single day, which it took away from the mystique of it, you know, like... It's dumb. I mean, every game, every day there's interleague. That's not special. It's not special anymore.
Nope.
And what made it special about interleague is, like, you had teams, you know, cross-town rivals, you know, teams who have history with each other. And, you know, you had a dream matchup of, okay, what would happen if these guys, you know, if these guys would have faced each other in the World Series, even though, you know, obviously – the World Series and regular series is, you know, two different animals. But, you know, it's nice to see, you know, how you'd measure up against, you know, another team, you know, in your, you know, in interleague.
Yeah.
You know, the critics of interleague, you know, they do have valid points of, you know, seeing two teams that have no history with each other, you know, who literally – having a boring series, you know, because they have no animosity. There's no storyline between the teams, you know. They don't share the same towns and stuff like that. That I understand. But when you have, like, cross-town teams facing each other or teams that have history facing each other in the World Series, I mean, those are some interesting matchups.
Yeah,
you know
it
what I
is.
Mean? Like, you know, like Yankees-Cubs.
Yeah.
Of course, Mets-Yankees. You know, Braves versus the Red Sox or Phillies or, you know, any of those, the Marlins and the Tampa Bay Rays, you know.
Yeah, I agree.
Teams that have, say, you know, Cardinals, Royals, you know, teams that have history, you know, that especially that share, the same city, like Chicago, the Cubs and the White Sox, you know, teams like that, you know. Teams that share, you know, history and a town. I mean, you can't beat a interleague like that. But now, you know, interleague is a joke now.
It definitely is, man. I agree with you. I don't like the way it's set up. I like how it used to be where you played the interleague for a few weeks and then you move on and forget about it, you know?
Yeah, there's no rhyme or reason. I mean... You know, you could be facing interleague and then you're a regular team, and then you could be playing your team, and then afterwards, out of the blue, you have to face a team, being, you know, East Coast fans, you know, I'm an NL East fan, you know, being a Mets fan, you're an AL East, you know, with the Yankees. So it's like, out of the blue, you got to go on the AL West and face a team for no reason, you know. When you could have just played all the AL West teams all at once instead of playing an AL West team or an NL West team or whatever the schedule is at that point. I mean, they just totally ruined the interleague.
They did. They definitely did.
It does suck. I hope next year they fix this because it's a joke. I mean, even a few years ago, they – you know, the Subway Series, they made it four games instead of six, you know.
Yeah.
You know, it was magical, you know, have the teams play on, you know, weekends and, you know, it was interesting, you know, Friday to Sundays. And then these last couple of years, they just made it, in the weekdays. It was like, come on.
Yeah, they need to change, man. Because I like the fact that they changed the Subway Series back to six games. I like
that. Yeah, me too. I'm glad they redeemed themselves with that. But the interleague, you know, it was like in May or June, or at least 1 week, one week after the other.
Yeah.
But this is crap, man. April you're facing the Yankees, and then afterwards in September you're gonna face the Yankees again. I mean, what is that? What is that all about?
Yeah, it's stupid.
It's dumb. It's really stupid. They really need to fix this interleague stuff, because I've vented about this years ago, but them bringing the Houston Astros to the American League, because the Astros was always a NL team until last year when they moved them.
Mm-hmm.
They could have moved the Brewers back to the AL. I mean, the Brewers had their best year when they were an AL team in '82 against the Cardinals. You know, it was a losing effort, but come on, they were already a American League team. It wouldn't have hurt them.
Yeah, I agree.
You bring the Astros to the American League for what? Now you can't even have a Subway. You can't even have a Texas Lone Star Series.
Yeah, that didn't make any sense.
Now it's just a regular game because not only because of the interleague thing, but now they're not even interleague. They're in the same division. They're in the AL West now. So, I mean, it's stupid.
Yeah, it didn't make any sense.
Now they can't even face each other in the World Series if they wanted to.
Nope.
I mean, come on. I mean, some of this stuff, man, it makes you scratch your head. I mean, who thought this was a great idea?
Yeah, I'm with you.
I could spend a whole episode talking about this. But, yeah, I guess I'll talk about something even more depressing. Did I give you a clue?
What, the Knicks?
What else is more depressing than the Knicks? Basically, they, not too long ago, they defeated the Hawks. And with that win, which, I mean, I don't know who would have bet that the Knicks would have beat the best Eastern Conference team, you know, in a game. I mean, I know Hawks, you know, the season was over. Like, you know, it wasn't like a big game for them. But, I mean, who would have, I mean, if you were coming into the season you beat the best team in the East, one, you would have thought it would have been the Cavaliers, and two, you would have been happy about it, but like, yeah, you know, we beat this team. This is a measuring stick, you know, that, hey, maybe we could compete. But forget about that. Once this season started, man, the Knicks was horrible, man. You would have thought they would have been, like, at least competing for a playoffs, but right now they're competing for the basement. And, because they beat the Hawks, it eliminated their chances of having the worst record, which would have gave them a 25% chance of winning the, winning the lottery. So, basically, Knicks got to move on, man, with that. You know, Knicks, you know, could still win the lottery, but their chances dwindled. But
and they finished the season 17 wins, which is the lowest amount of wins the Knicks have ever had in franchise history.
Yeah, they finally lost 60 games, which they never did in their career. I mean, their franchise history, they lost what, 65 altogether.
Mm-hmm.
Carmelo admitted that he second guessed his decision, you know, but he still has faith with Phil Jackson. And, you know, as a Knicks fan, you know, you can only cross your fingers and hope that, he'll make the right moves.
Yeah, exactly. And hopefully next year he comes back healthy, and hopefully we win this lottery and get Towns or Okafor.
Yeah, no doubt, because if they don't get any of those guys, they don't win the number one pick, or at the very least win the second pick, and they can't get some guys over here, all this losing will be for nothing. No doubt about that, man.
Yep.
And, you know, the Nets, they're in the playoffs.
Yeah, they play, who they play? Oh, yeah, they're playing the Hawks.
Right, exactly, the aforementioned Hawks.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, man, the Hawks, they improved, man. They were usually, they're usually a playoff contending team, like an 8 seed. Mm-hmm. And they just, they improved, like, man, they're like world beaters now. They're not even, they're not like even pesky underdog teams anymore. They're, that's a legitimate team right there.
Yeah, for real. They're looking good.
Yeah. There's no doubt about that. Hopefully the Knicks can have the same, you know, same fortune, you know, next year. And I think that the Hawks have like a pick, you know, because they made a, they have like a first round pick, you know, because they made a trade.
In this year's draft?
Yeah, in this year's draft, even though they're the best team in the East. But yeah, hopefully Knicks can get this. This top pick, but you know, we'll definitely keep you posted. You know, once the, you know, the draft day happens, you know, after the draft, you know, the lottery happens, and we, you know, we find out where Knicks will, you know, where, you know, where they'll get the opportunity to draft the Knicks player.
Yeah, the lottery, the lottery should be within the next week or so, shouldn't it?
Yeah, I think so. It should be like next month, I would say.
Because I think it's around this playoff time.
Yeah, and I think the draft itself is like around, you know, the NBA finals.
Yeah.
Or
after the NBA finals.
After,
yeah.
Right, after the NBA. Yeah, right, you're right.
Yeah.
But yeah, but we'll let you. We'll keep you guys posted on that.
Definitely.
But shifting gears, WWE, Raw was in London. I mean, Raw, it was okay. I mean, I like the Cena versus Wade Barrett match. But other than that, I can't really think of anything that really stood out to me. Yeah, I mean, Naomi did turn heel, you know.
Yeah, that was expected.
Page. But other than that, I can't really think of anything major that happened.
Yeah, I mean, nothing really stood out to me. I mean, very challenging John Cena, I guess.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, they had an awesome match, you know. I like Cena's new springboard stunner that he has.
Yeah, that's cool.
And Stone Cold was saying that, you know, he should implement that, like, as a... I think he was saying he should implement that as, like, a finisher and at least won the match, so when he goes for the springboard stunner, you know, people will be more, you know, like pumped about it, as it, you know, it will get the crowd more engaged that it could actually beat somebody,
right?
Because
right.
You know, if he don't hit the attitude adjustment or the STFU, you know the match isn't going to end anytime soon.
Yeah, right.
But yeah, man, yeah. I'm glad Cena's actually, you know, he's starting to, last couple of months, he's starting to add more to his repertoire. I can't even say the word.
Yeah,
but anyway,
right.
He got the springboard. He's doing like a top rope, Hurricanrana. You know, he's starting to, you know, trying to break out of that five moves of doom. I mean, he still does do his moves in a row, you know, but he's becoming less predictable.
Yeah, I agree with you.
And I think that Rusev match, that Russian chain thing match, whatever that match they're calling it, I think it might, you know, maybe lead to, you know, maybe a return of the word life gimmick that Cena had. Because, you know,
right.
He's the United States champion.
Yeah.
There's rumors that he might bring back the spinner belt for the United States championship.
Well, if he brings back the spinner, then he's going to definitely have to go back to World Life, which I don't see coming back, unfortunately.
Yeah, I don't see it either, but I don't know. It seemed like they're kind of hinting with it with the chain. you know. I don't know. We've said that for years, and you know, nothing's ever happened. But he did. Cena did recently admit in a recent interview that I think it was the one he did with Jericho on the podcast on the WWE Network. He was saying that how, you know, they were thinking about turning him heel during the Rock feud, and he had his new music and stuff like that, new gear and stuff like that. But I guess WWE, you know, kiboshed it, or he did, or something like that.
Oh, wow. Was that in Jericho? I didn't hear that in the Jericho interview. Was that in Jericho?
I think it was in the Jericho or another interview I heard or read that he was thinking of that, you know, they were thinking about turning him heel. But I guess WWE doesn't want to do that because it'll mess up their sales.
Yeah, for real.
And he was joking. Yeah, you know, I think it was the Jericho one, because I think I remember him saying to Jericho, like, he's already the top heel anyway. You know, if they turn, there's no point for him to turn heel, because in the eyes of a lot of fans, he's a heel anyway.
Yeah, and kids love him.
Yep. And I heard Layla returned during the European tour. Hello, you still here?
Yeah. What did you say?
No, I said that Layla returned during the European.
How long has she been out?
Wow, I don't even remember. 5-6 months? I lost count, man. And I heard Daniel Bryan got hurt too during the live tour in Europe.
Yeah, you were telling me about that the other day, which I didn't. So that's gonna be interesting to see if, you know, he has to be out for a period of time and has to forfeit another title again.
Yeah, I hope not. I hope that's not the case. I mean, you know, I'm a fan of his, but you know, these last couple of years he has been injury prone, man. But
yeah,
hopefully he'll be all right. And on SmackDown, him and Cena defeated the tag team champions in a non-title match, you know, Cesaro and Kidd. And that's basically the only thing I could think of that happened on SmackDown.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, one more thing. On Raw, Kane could have defeated Rollins, but he let him, you know, he laid down for Rollins to defeat him.
Didn't he chokeslam him too after that?
Yeah, he chokeslammed them, and then he let Rollins pin him.
Oh, okay.
Which was weak. Because they were kind of teasing Kane would turn into a good guy.
That's not going to happen anytime soon.
Yeah, there's no point. Kane and Big Show, I mean, their careers are basically done. I mean, I don't think there's anything they could do, say or do that would make the fans cheer for them. I mean, I'll give them credit with Big Show. Big Show does look more of a threat ever since he won the Andre the Giant.
Yeah.
You know, they're not making him do goofy kind of stuff.
More scary.
Yeah, they are making him more scary, which that was long overdue. They should have did that a long time ago. But in any case, we'll let you know what's going to happen in WWE and other sports news. You have anything you'd like to say?
Check out my show, iMac, every Saturdays at 11, and come back here and check out Sports and Religion, Sundays at 6, as usual time.
Right, on Blog Talk Radio. So, you know, I want to thank you all for listening to another episode of Sports and Religion. He's Macaulay Matthew, I'm Wolf Memo, and I'll see you guys next time. Peace.